This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin with the praise and the praise of Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah And we send our love and greetings Salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family To his companions and all those who follow his sunnah Until the end of time May Allah make us to be amongst them Amin Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who has given us to be in these holy 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And as we know, the holiest nights of the year are the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And the holiest days of the year are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. We are in the middle of those 10 days now. The days of Hajj are about to be upon us. The day of Arafah, the Hajjis will go to Arafah on Tuesday, inshaAllah. And Hajj will start on Monday, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And so the Nabi says, there is no deed that is done in these 10 days that will give you more reward. So whatever you do of good in this, whether you're reciting Quran or giving a 5 rand charity or giving out a sandwich or whatever, saying a good word, the reward you will get in this time is better than any deed you could do outside of this. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, even jihad, if I fought jihad last month, the reward I will get now is more, my 5 rand is more than jihad. And the Prophet says, yes. Except for the person who goes out and he doesn't come back. Meaning, if you die as a shaheed, then the reward is more. But even jihad, outside of these 10 days, the reward cannot equal the reward we'll get now. So inshallah, if ever you had an opportunity to give charity, to do good, to do kindness, maximize it in these 10 days. It's not just for the hajjis. It's not just for the hujjaj. It is for all of us. And of course, the hajjis, most importantly, we ask Allah to grant them hajj maqbool. Ameen. So on that, note that this great act of ibadah, which the whole ummah is going to be focused on, we're going to talk about the Hajj of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we have a beautiful narration. It's called like the mother of all hadith about Hajj. A long hadith about how the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed Hajj, narrated by a very, very famous companion, Jabir radiallahu anh. Now many of you must have heard an Jabir. Jabir narrates the hadith. Jabir radiallahu anh is one of the great narrators, reporters of hadith. And so before I talk about the actual story, I want to talk a little bit about the backstory of Jabir. Who is Jabir and why is he reporting so many hadith? How did he have such a close relationship with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Jabir radiallahu anh was from the people of Medina. So he wasn't from the elite Meccan Sahaba, not the Abu Bakrs and Umars and Bilals, the original Sahaba. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to Medina, Jabir is a young boy, a teenager. And one of the first incidences we have with Jabir is there was a campaign, a jihad, and he joins up as a teenager and he's on his way back. So they had the campaign, the Nabi saw, he came, he saw, he conquered, and now they're coming back to Medina. And Jabir radiallahu anh, he has a very, very old, tired camel and he's falling behind everybody. People are moving back to Medina and he's falling behind and he's like, Ya Allah, you know, look at this, you know, you maybe think of your time, you're driving this crookie and you think, you know, every 5 minutes you must stop because it overheats and everything. And he's like, you know, frustrated with his life. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam notices this and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam falls back until he's side by side with Jabir. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam starts talking to Jabir and asks him, how are you, what's going on, connecting with this young man. And he asks Jabir radiallahu anhu, what's going on with your camel? So he says, Ya Rasulullah, my father passed away and all we had was this camel and that's all I have, but alhamdulillah, I'm not complaining. So the Nabi sallallahu says, okay, let me see. And the Nabi makes dua and the camel becomes super strong and fast. It becomes amazing through the barakah of the Nabi sallallahu, his dua. And so, now that the camel is strong, Jabir picks up the pace and he wants to rush home to Medina. So Nabi says, hold on, why are you so eager to go home to Medina? Why are you so excited to go home? So Jabir said, Ya Rasulullah, before the battle, just before, I just got married. So basically on my honeymoon, I want to get back to my wife. You know, I haven't really enjoyed her yet. So the Nabi says, no. Take some time, trust me. Let her know you're getting there. Let the news of you reach her before you reach her. It will be better for you. Meaning let her prepare herself, let her get herself ready. Don't surprise her like that. Also, the Nabi was talking to her. So which girl did you marry? The Nabi wants to know, which girl did you choose to get married to? And Jabir says, I married an older lady. Well, Jabir is a young man. So Nabi says, why are you marry? You're a young guy. Why didn't you marry a young girl instead of a big lady? So Jabir says, look, I told you my dad passed away. I also didn't have a mom. So I've got four younger sisters. Now, he's also picture from his perspective. He's got four young sisters he needs to care for. He's got this old camel. He's really got a lot of things on his mind. And he says, I've got four young, cute, little sisters who don't know anything about life. If I married another young, cute, little girl who also doesn't know anything about life, I have now five ladies to take care of. So I chose a big lady who can take care of my sisters. So then he said, oh, you chose well. Okay, so there was Jabir is smart. He's thinking long term. And so, now that the camel is strong and fast, the Nabi says, you know what? I want your camel. Give it to me. Now you can see Jabir is not yet of the elite Sahaba. If the Nabi asked anyone, give me your shirt, they would take it off immediately. Jabir is still a young man. He's still a bit... So he says, no, the camel is good. Why would I give it to you now when it's at its peak? So the Nabi says, give it to me. So Jabir said, okay, I'll sell it to you. So the Nabi sallam. So now they're negotiating about a price. And eventually, they agree on a price that is fair. And then Jabir says, hold on, Ya Rasulullah, wait. Before I sell it to you, in our agreement, allow me to first ride home. Because if I sell it to you now, I must walk to Medina. Let me ride it to Medina. When we get to Medina, I'll give it to you. I'll sell it to you. So this is no problem. In this little bit of a conversation, we learn business transactions. You can actually make clauses in your contract that I'll sell you the house, but I will live for 1 month until you know, so there's a lot of fiqh in this. So the Nabi says, no problem, you can ride the camel. And when you get to Medina, this is the price you will get. So now they get back to Medina. And the Nabi sallam, of course, is in the masjid. Jabir comes late. Maybe it was Dhuhr time. He only gets around Isha time. And so the Nabi says, I only see you now. Like, you're only coming now to the masjid. And obviously, Jabir's been busy. He's with his new wife. So the Nabi sallam says to Jabir, Jabir says, Ya Rasulullah, I brought the camel and I'm giving it to you. And the Nabi says, okay, Bilal, bring some money and add some extra bit to it. Give it to Jabir. And so Jabir gets the payment and he wants to hand the camel over. And the Nabi says, do you really think I want to take your camel? I don't want to take your camel. You keep the money and the camel. In the Nabi's polite way, he didn't want to make Jabir feel, I'm giving you charity. I'm going to give you, yeah, you're struggling, you've got four sisters, you just got married, here's a thousand rand for you. You've made up this elaborate, you know, transaction. And then he said, keep the money and keep the camel. And his camel, of course, is a much stronger camel and he gets the money. Now, from a young man that wasn't so close to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that wasn't really next to him. Now Jabir is with him like his shadow. See the caliber of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's why after this, Jabir is going to narrate hundreds, thousands of hadith. He would want to make sure every moment I get, I want to stand next to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every opportunity I get, I want to record every word he says. Amazing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right, so now let's talk about the Hajj. We fast forward many, many decades. Jabir is an old, blind man. He can't even stand properly. And the grandson of Hussein, the grandson of the Nabi Sallam, his grandson Muhammad, right? The grandson of Sayyidina Hussein comes to Jabir. And Jabir is blind, he can't see, radiallahu anhu, and he says, who's here? And he says, I am Muhammad, the grandson of Hussein, the grandson of the Nabi Sallam. He says, oh, mashallah. And Jabir touches the young boy and says, like, one of the Ahlul Bayt family of the Nabi Sallam. And Jabir says, oh, my son, ask me anything you want to know so I can tell you. Any question you have, let me know. So, Muhammad
this the Ahlul Bayt, the great grandson of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, says, "Tell me about the Hajj of my grandfather. I want to know how the Nabi Sallam performed Hajj." So Jabir radiallahu anh, he smiles, and now he's becoming nostalgic. He's thinking back when I was a young man and we made Hajj together, and he puts his hands up 9. So he makes shows 9. He says, 9 years the Nabi Sallam was in Medina. For 9 years he was in Medina and there was no Hajj. So there was Hajj, but the Nabi Sallam didn't go on Hajj. And every year we're excited, is this the year he's going to go for Hajj? But the Nabi Sallam didn't go for Hajj. Then after 9 years, the 10th year came, and the Nabi Sallam announced now to everybody, "I'm going on Hajj this year." Now imagine the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying to the Muslim Ummah, "This year is the year I'm going to go on Hajj." No one has seen him perform Hajj yet. And so everybody, this is the year we want to go. I mean, who would want to go for Hajj with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the matawf, as the man in charge? And so everybody from every tribe, every Muslim that there was, signed up and said, "This is the year we want to go on Hajj with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." So Jabir Radhiyallahu Anhu says, on the 10th year, we all went together. He's obviously going with. And we left Medina. And the hadith we're narrating is to help you understand what the Hujjaj are going to do. Alhamdulillah, our religion is we follow the sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't have to think and innovate. We follow step by step. The Hajjis do exactly what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. So Jabir says, we left Medina. And just as we got outside of Medina, a little place outside of Medina, it's called Dhul Hulayfa. It's the Miqat. It's called the Miqat. The Miqat is where you enter the state of Ihram. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Medina, and the Miqat is maybe 15 minutes from Medina. It's not very far. It's just outside Medina. And then we stopped at the Masjid. We performed Salah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on his camel. And as far as I could see, left, right, I just could see people. Jabir, I was amazed. Where did all these people come from? Everyone from everywhere came to Medina, and they're all stopping with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is like prominent on his camel. He's standing up and they could all see him. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wearing his ihram clothing, and he says, "Labbaik Allahumma labbaik." He now enters the state of ihram. So at the Miqat, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered the state of ihram. And just as everyone is now entering ihram, Sayyidina Abu Bakr comes with his wife to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, "My wife Asma, she just gave birth. She was pregnant, and when she got to the Miqat, she gave birth." Meaning, can she enter Ihram while she just gave birth? She's bleeding and all of that. The Nabi says, "No problem. Let her also into the state of Ihram. She will ghusl like the Hujjaj would do. She will bandage her private parts, but she will enter Ihram." So we learn now a lot of fiqh. A lady in Hayd, she will enter Ihram. Our sisters, there are many sisters who are going to be on Arafah in Hayd, but they're still in Ihram. Hayd does not invalidate Ihram. And so the Nabi says she enters Ihram like everybody else. And Jabir is then, he makes a side note, he says, "Ya Allah, those were the days." Can you imagine? At that time, the Nabi was still with us, and the Quran was still being revealed. Allah was still talking to us. Allah was still sending a revelation. How great that was. So then he says, the Nabi made the talbiyah. He started saying, "Labbaik Allahumma labbaik." What does Labbaik Allah mean? What does Labbaik mean? The Hajj, once they enter Ihram, they will start saying Labbaik, the Talbiyah. What is this? Labbaik means, "I'm coming, I'm responding, Ya Allah. Allah, you've called me, I'm coming. Labbaik, Labbaik, I'm on my way. La ilaha labbaik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak. You have no partner, Allah. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. All the praise and all the thanks and all the worship and all of creation is for you alone. La sharika lak. You have no partner, Allah." And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the Talbiyah. And Jabir then says, and the people also said a talbiyah with added some words in it. So some said, "Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah." They added little bits of other adhkar. And the Nabi Sallam, Jabir says, he didn't stop anyone from their own talbiyah, but the Nabi Sallam repeated the talbiyah which you all know. Meaning the talbiyah which is famous, he only said that one. Meaning Jabir is saying, this is the best one. The one the Nabi Sallam says, the one that is famous, it is the one that he said. Then the Nabi Sallam did not reject anything out of it, but the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam adhered to his own talbiyah. Then we did not have any other. So now Jabir says, when we went for Hajj, the way Hajj was done in the past, you came to Mecca in Ihram and you stayed in Ihram until the end of Hajj. Right? So if you got to Mecca like the first of the Hijjah, you stayed in Ihram until Eid. You stayed 10 days in Ihram. And we all, that's how we thought, that's what we're going to do for Hajj. And so we all came to Mecca. And when we got to Mecca, we had the intention of Hajj only, being unaware of Umrah, that you can make Umrah with Hajj. And when we came upon the house, meaning we came to the Kaaba, and we performed the Tawaf and everything, and we made Tawaf around the Kaaba, and we performed Salah behind the Maqam of Ibrahim, and then we made Sa'i. My father said, whether, Sunan Jabir adds, my father said, and I do not know whether he made a mention of it, but it was from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he said, he is Allah, and says, oh unbelievers, then he returned. So then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jabir is saying, that he's adding this little bit, that he returned to the pillar and kissed it, that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kissed the Hajar al-Aswad. And then he went to the gates of Safa and Marwa. He performed Safa and Marwa, and he made the sa'i. So now when they were done with the sa'i, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the Sahaba, if I had known what I know now, the Nabi says, what Allah has told me now, I would have informed you of something different. I would have said to you, you shouldn't bring your animals with you. What does this got to do? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, for those of you who came to Mecca without bringing your Qurban animals, you had made Umrah, you can exit your Ihram. You can end your Ihram now. You made Umrah, exit your Ihram, and you're out of Ihram, and you can now enjoy yourself, and you can live like normal, and when Hajj starts, we'll enter a new Ihram. And that's what all the Hujjaj are doing. It's called Tamattu. So all the Hajjis, they come from Medina, in Ihram. They come to Mecca, they make a Umrah, they exit the Ihram, and now for the next couple of days, they're going to be outside of Ihram. Ihram is very difficult. You can't pull a hair, you can't kiss your wife, you can't hold hands, you can't do any of those romantic stuff, you can't wear perfume. So to do 10 days of Ihram is very difficult. So the Nabi says, if I should have informed you all that you should not have brought your animals. Why? If you came to Mecca with your Qurban with you, you must stay in Ihram until the animal is slaughtered. So if anyone flies with his sheep with him in the bag, then he's not allowed to exit his Ihram. So the Nabi says, all of you guys who have not brought your animals with you, exit your Ihram. But as for those, and the Nabi says, I'm one of them, I brought my animals, we will stay in Ihram. So the Nabi, and perhaps Allah Alam, this is perhaps the higher level, how it, that Allah had prescribed for him. He's going to stay in Ihram the full length of time. And but he's encouraging the Ummah, you guys don't do that. You shouldn't do that. And he says, if I were to ever make Hajj again, I would also do Tamattu. I would also not come with my animals, I would exit Ihram. But Allah had decreed it such, I will stay in Ihram, and anyone else who brought the animals, stay in Ihram with me, but the rest of you, you exit Ihram. And so one of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, you've now made a new type of Hajj, where you have Umrah, break your Ihram, and a new Hajj. Is this thing just this year? Is it only now this year? Or forever? And the Nabi Sallallahu made his fingers together, and said, this is like this till Qiyamah. And this is how it's going to be forever. And this is why the Hajj is, everyone makes Tamattu Hajj. You've heard this word Tamattu. This is the Hajj that you're going to do. And this is what all the Hujjaj do. Wherever they come from the world, they come to Mecca, make Umrah, exit Ihram, and then they enter a new Ihram. Now, Jabir adds a little side story, because this is the grandson of Sayyidina Ali. So he says, also, when we came from Medina, your great-grandfather Sayyidina Ali wasn't with us. Why? Because he was coming from Yemen. He had just completed a campaign for jihad in Yemen, and now he's coming from Yemen and meeting us. We're all going to meet in Mecca. So when Sayyidina Ali got to Mecca, he performed his Umrah. In Ihram, Sayyidina Ali's in Ihram, he made Umrah. Now he's looking for Fatima, his wife. And when he comes to Sayyidina Fatima, the daughter of the Nabi Sallam, he finds her in with perfume, she's dressed up, she's out of Ihram. And Sayyidina Ali said, what's going on? You're on Hajj and you're not in Ihram, what's going on? So Fatima radiallahu anha said, my dad said so. The Nabi Sallam informed us, this is what we need to do. I didn't bring an animal, so I'm out of Ihram. Sayyidina Ali says, no, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to go speak to the Nabi Sallam. So Sayyidina Ali speaks to the Nabi Sallam, and the Prophet Sallam tells Sayyidina Ali, it is correct what Fatima said, that if you didn't bring your animal with you, exit your Ihram. And I told her to exit Ihram like everybody else. So Sayyidina Ali says, okay. Then the Nabi says, did you bring your animal with you? So he says, yes. He says, oh, you stay with me. You're gonna be in Ihram with me. And then the Nabi said to Sayyidina Ali, what was your intention when you made Talbiyah, Labayk Allahumma? What was your intention? What was your niyah? So Sayyidina Ali, subhanAllah, he said, oh Allah, before I entered Ihram, I said, Ya Allah, I will be on the same talbiyah like the Nabi. Whatever his Hajj is going to be, is my Hajj. I don't know what he's going to choose, but that's my Hajj. And so Sayyidina Ali said, good, you and I are going to stay in Ihram together now until after Hajj. And so Sayyidina Ali brought 100, as we know, 100 camels. And the Nabi is going to slaughter all of them on the day of Eid. 100 camels is the Nabi's Qurban on the day of Eid. So then, the Nabi now Jabir says, so now we were in Mecca for a few days, and then the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the 8th, which is now Monday. Monday is the 8th, inshallah. We left to Mina. Everybody packs up in Mecca and they go to Mina. And they're all in Ihram now. For those who are in Ihram, they stay in Ihram. And those who are out on the 8th, so the morning. So if you have any relative who's on Hajj on the morning after Fajr, on the 8th, they will enter the state of Ihram from where they are. They don't go back to the Miqat. And then from there, they will go to Mina. And you will stay on Mina for a day, for five waqts, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha'i, and Fajr the next morning, you stay in Mina. And there's no ritual on that day. You're not going to pelt the Jamarat, you're not going to do anything. That day is a day of preparation. Because the next day is the big day, Arafah. It is a day where you reflect and you consider. Now, what is Arafah really? Arafah is your one-on-one appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arafah, if you imagine imagine your calendar. Most of you are MS Teams or Google. Imagine you open the calendar and you saw, on this day, you have an appointment with the creator of the universe, one-on-one appointment. You will have a personal audience with him. Only one day in your life. You're not going to get this again. There's no other opportunity. Most people only go in Arafah once. And this is that time. And so, for the Muslim, you've performed salah your whole life. You've performed your fasting in Ramadan. You've given your zakah. You don't commit shirk. But the hajj pillar has not been done. And without hajj, your Islam is not complete. Your Islam will be completed on the day of Arafah. Your position as a Muslim, your position in Jannah is completed on the day of Arafah. So really, that day, the day before Arafah, you're considering, I'm going to meet Allah tomorrow. Now subhanAllah, lillah al-mathal ala, we can't give any kind of likeness. But the CEO of your company wants to have a meeting with you. The president wants to have a meeting with you. How do we shake? How do we feel? Oh, I must prepare. What am I going to wear? It's on your mind weeks in advance. You're there 10 minutes before the meeting starts, subhanAllah. This is the Lord of the universe inviting you. Of all of creation, these special 2 million people, Allah is inviting them. This is where I want you to be, so I can have a one-on-one conversation. So the Hujjaj stay on Mina. And the only thing they do differently is the 4 raka'ah salah, Asr, Dhuhr and Isha'i, they make 2. And this is the sunnah of the Nabi Sallam. He made the salah 2, and he did not join them. He kept them in its waqt. So then, the next morning, Fajr time, they were still in Mina. After Fajr, they left towards Arafah. Everyone is moving towards Arafah. And the Quraysh, who just recently embraced Islam, they thought that, see, the Quraysh had a practice where they had special places they could stay. It's called the Mash'ar al-Haram. There's a special place the Quraysh got to stay. And they said, the rest of you sinners, you must go get your sins forgiven. But we Quraysh elite, Allah's people, we get a special place, a VIP spot for us. So the Quraysh thought, the Nabi Sallam will get there and he'll also stop there. But he bypassed it. He didn't want nothing to do with this. He left that place and he went straight towards Arafah to show that there's no elitism here in Islam. Everyone is going to stand with Allah alone. Everyone has that unique relationship. And just think, also as we picture the Ihram, what is the Ihram? It is that same kafan you're going to wear when you die. The Ihram, you don't put anything on your head. Why? You can't put any kufiya or turban on your head. Why? In the past, your position in society was determined by your headgear. The bigger the vursal, the bigger the alim, the sheikh. That's why the king wears a golden thing on his head. But Allah wants to show no one is going to wear anything on their head today. Of the men, obviously. Because none of you have any status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah who has status. So, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bypasses this place and he gets to Arafah before the war. And then he stops. And he waits. Rabbi Sallam is showing you the time of wukuf begins at a specific time. He stops outside Arafah and he's waiting for the waqt of Dhuhr to come in. So now he can show the ummah, this is when Arafah begins, not before. And so when Dhuhr's waqt comes in, the Nabi Sallam enters Arafah. And he stands on Arafah and he gives that amazing speech that we all know, his final farewell sermon, where he's basically saying goodbye. Most of the people, they never got to see him again. Within 2-3 months, 2.5 months, the Nabi Sallam would pass away. And he's saying to them, I don't know if I'm going to be here again. And we spoke about the farewell sermon. Everyone should actually download it and read it, where the Nabi Sallam talks about the oneness of Allah, being good, do not hurt each other, don't cause harm and mischief to each other, look after one another. A white person isn't better than a black person, an Arab isn't better than a non-Arab. The Nabi Sallam is advising the Ummah of the high level stuff. And then subhanAllah, it shows his wisdom. That time the Ummah was small, maybe 100,000 people. Now we have hundreds of millions of people. The Nabi Sallam stands and he says, I'm standing here on this spot, But all of this is Arafah. Meaning, don't you people the next 100 from now all fight to stand on this spot. This is where the Nabi stood. This place I'm standing is no better than that place. But I must stand somewhere. So this is Arafah. All of this is Arafah. And he gives an amazing sermon. And then he made Dhuhr and Asr together. Two rak'ahs Dhuhr, two rak'ahs for Asr. And after that, Jabir says, the Nabi found a spot facing in a direction. Now what did he do on Arafah? And he just sat there and he made dua. The Hajjis, on Arafah, the greatest, the most important 4 hours of your life, your Jannah, Jahannam, position as a Muslim, is determined in that 4 hours. There's no Jamarat, there's no Tawaf, there's no Salah even. Even the Nabi made Salah short, Dhuhr and Asr quickly. Why? You need to speak to your Rabb. You need to speak to Allah. 5-6 hours, pour your heart out to Allah. This is what I need. This is what I want. Thank you, Allah. Praise Him. Thank you. Making tawbah. Every sin, every mistake, you repent to Allah. There's no one else in the world, just you and Allah. Even though you're surrounded by millions of people, it's just you speaking to your Rabb. That is the most important moment of your life. And then Jabir says, as the time got close to Maghrib and the shadows got long, like a half an hour before Maghrib, the Nabi stood up and he started to raise his hands and he became more determined in his dua, as if to say, my time with Allah is running up. The next time we're going to be like this with Allah is on the day of Qiyamah. The next time we'll have an appointment like this is on the day of Qiyamah. And so he is, you know, deep in dua. In that last half an hour, he stands up in the light and he's imploring Allah for his mercy, for his love, for his guidance. And then when the sun sets, Arafah is finished. And then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he got onto his camel and he put with him Usama. Usama, the son of Zayd. Usama is the adopted grandson of the Nabi Sallallahu. So it's like a grandson. The Nabi Sallallahu is on the camel with Usama radiallahu anhu. And Usama says the Nabi Sallallahu held the camel very, very tightly. And he didn't allow the camel to rush. And he says to everyone, the Nabi Sallallahu is saying to everybody, slowly, slow, take it easy, no rush. We leave slowly. And as they are going in a very slow, gentle manner, leaving Arafah towards Muzdalifah in the night, Usama says, Ya Rasulullah, it's almost Maghrib. It's Maghrib and the waqt's going out. He says, don't worry. We're going to make Maghrib and Isha'i together on Muzdalifah. And so the Hajjis, so if you look at what's going to happen, on Monday they were in Mina. Tuesday is the day of Arafah. And then the whole day, inshallah, from Dhuhr until Maghrib, they are at Arafah making dua. Then they leave Arafah Tuesday night and they'll get to Muzdalifah in the evening. It's a long, slow journey, even though it's very short. This place is like, you know, to walk is like half an hour. But with millions of people on the road, it's going to take very long. Then they get to Muzdalifah. It's late at night. The Nabi just made Maghrib and Isha'i. No tahajjud, no special. Go sleep. And the next morning, he woke up, made Fajr at Muzdalifah. And then he moved on the day of Eid to Mina. There's also a nice little tidbit where the Nabi is on the camel with another nephew of his. And a lady comes to ask the Nabi a question. You know, my dad is too old, can I make Hajj on his behalf? And while she's talking, Jabir mentions she was a very, very pretty girl. She's a pretty looking girl. And the nephew of the Nabi Sallam, Al-Fadl, he's looking at this girl. And every time he stares, the Nabi Sallam moves his face away. And he puts it back. Now this is in Hajj, on Arafah, in Ihram. The Nabi Sallam's not saying anything nasty to Al-Fadl. He didn't even say stop it, he just moved his face away. Don't look. Also shows you that even the most pious of people, they're just human beings. And the Nabi is not like reprimanding him. It's just, if you're not supposed to be looking and thinking of this, you're in ihram on Hajj. But a young man looking at a young girl. And so the Nabi just reprimands him lightly like that. So the Nabi now comes to, on the day of Eid, he gets to Mina and he does the rituals of Eid. And I said Eid is a very busy day for the Hajjis. They're going to Qurban. The Nabi slaughtered 63 camels with his own hand. And then he brought the remainder of the 137, Sayyidina Ali slaughtered. And from this, and subhanAllah, it's amazing, that Nabi only lived 63 years. There was a premonition. For every year of my life, I'm giving a Qurban. And the remaining 37, he said to Sayyidina Ali, you finish the job, which shows that not every person must slaughter. You can appoint someone. And then of course, the Nabi Sallam pelted first he pelted the big Jamarat, he slaughtered the camels, and then he exited his Ihram, and then he went to Mecca to perform Tawaf and Sa'i. And this is the Tawaf, Ifada, the main Tawaf. This is the Tawaf of Hajj. And perhaps for the Hujjaj, the most difficult one is to do this Tawaf. The whole Ummah trying to perform that very, very big Tawaf. And so the Nabi Sallam, when he came back from, when he got, and subhanAllah, a little bit lost, the Hadith kind of ends here, the Nabi Sallam gets to the Haram. And now for the first time, he really sees his relatives that lived in Mecca. Remember, he made Hijrah 10 years ago. And it was the job of the Banu Hashim, the family of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his tribe. Every tribe had a job. Their job was to give Zamzam to the people, the Banu Hashim. So the Nabi comes to Mecca, he makes the tawaf, and he sees his relatives going in the well, pulling out the water. And so he says to his family, you know, wallahi, I wish I can be with you, pulling out the water, giving Zamzam to the Hujjaj. But if I did it now, the whole ummah is going to want to do this. It'll become a sunnah. Think about it, 3 million people, all of us would say, must give you water and everyone's going to fight. Look at his fiqh, look at his wisdom for the ummah. Throughout this hajj, people are going to come to him and say, Ya Rasulullah, I slaughtered first, then I pelted the jamarat. He'll say, if'al wala haraj, don't worry, do it and it's fine. The ladies will say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm scared about the zahma, can I leave early? If'al wala haraj, do and don't have no problems with it. Every way he had an opportunity, he made life easy for the ummah. It shows that he knew, and this is from prophethood, a time will come where millions and millions of people will be wanting that same spot. And so he made as much as he could easy for the ummah. And then of course he returns to Mina, and that's the end of the, spends the next 3 days in the days of Tashriq, and of course he ends and he returns to Medina. So this is the Hajj of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Hujjaj will follow this exact steps. May Allah grant them Hajj Maqbool, Hajj Mabroor. May Allah grant that everyone that travels, that they, every ritual, every dua, every act of ibadah is accepted. May there be no accidents, no harm, and everyone returns safely. Ameen. A couple of announcements. As I said, this is the best time to do acts of ibadah, but perhaps the best deed we can do is to qurban. So if anybody who still has the ability by the means to qurban, 3,000 rand a year through Burhan al-Islam, or if you do online for more affordable, no problem, but let every family at least do one qurban, inshallah, and feed someone in this time. Also tomorrow, Saturday morning, from 9:30, I'm doing a talk on Muslim pride, Islam, and the LGBTQ XYZ discussion. If you want to attend, and I think you should attend, and your kids, 15 years and older, come to the Islamia Auditorium and we'll discuss this. Can you be friends with someone? What if you're a Muslim and you feel that way? What if you're a Muslim and you act on that? Are you still a Muslim? All these, why does Allah make it haram? Someone is born that way, how can Allah do it? So we talk about these kind of very, very frank conversation. So that is tomorrow, inshallah. We also make dua, mashallah, this is fantastic. Auntie Fatima Kafur, who is on the corner, it's 100th. And a birthday, mashallah, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, and Auntie Fatima still, you know, asked her son, how's mentally, she's better than us. She's faster than us. Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant strength, health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah and blessings. May Allah grant that all her du'as are accepted. Ameen. And this part of the masjid, I'm told, was originally part of her home. Originally. So Auntie Fatima actually lived in that part of the masjid before the renovation, mashallah. And we make dua for Uncle Umar Shahbuddin, who passed away 3 years ago. May Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, ameen, inshallah. And there's going to be a workshop as well for anyone who wants to do classes during the June holidays. Let me know. I'll give you the details. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Eid. Sorry, just to announce, Eid is on Wednesday. Eid al-Adha. Or with Makkah, inshallah, and Burhan will have it on Wednesday. Eid is on Wednesday, inshallah. The Qurban will happen. And of course, as we know, the Makki, there's a split, no problem. Inshallah, whatever day you keep, Allah grant you a blessed Eid. We have the days of Tashriq. So inshallah, but Burhanul's Eid program is on Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock. Takbir, 7 o'clock. Takbir from 7, Salah from 8. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.